Welcome to the Fatherhood is Lit podcast, where we talk about the best of times, but also pay respect and learn from the crazier times. Our presence matters. Take a ride with us as we show the world how we make our presence felt. Fatherhood is Lit.
What's good, Fatherhood? It's your boy, James Lopez, and you know how we get down on this side. I'm always looking for ways to help my kids step their financial literacy up, and today I have a special guest, one who has been investing for over 20 years. He's also the co-founder of StockTwits and also a general partner at Social Leverage. His name is Howard Linson, and he's going to talk to us all about the market and investing. What's up, Howard?
How are you?
I'm good, man. You all the way on the West Coast, right?
I'm as west, not Hawaii, but I'm California, San Diego.
All right, cool. Well, I wanted to bring you on because a long time ago, you tweeted that we all needed to get in on Netflix under $100. I was one of the few people that said, oh, I'm jumping in. And I got in at like $97. I rode that sucker all the way to like $400 and some odd, and I got out. So I wanted you on because you made me some money. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, for everybody that we made money for, somebody lost. I don't know. Someone was betting against Netflix.
I don't know how they did that, man. They must have been Blockbuster fanatics or something, man. which leads me to today's conversation, man. The first time I got into the market as an adult, I actually bought Blockbuster. And it was when Netflix started handing out passes. Like if you gave them a Blockbuster ticket, they would give you a free rental. And I bought Blockbuster for dirt cheap. I saw it go up like 100%, but I only bought like 2 shares. So I only made like $20. And that was the biggest lesson in my life because it, the percentage was crazy, but the profit was nothing. It was such a waste of time. Mm-hmm. And that was my first lesson. So I'm hoping that with you, we could encourage some dads to teach their kids about the market the right way. And hopefully it'll teach them too. Because I know a lot of fathers are afraid of doing this.
Sure. Let's try.
All right, cool. So first up, do we need a lot of money to join the stock market with our kids? What's the best way to get them started?
Well, I mean, it's a good question. You know, parents and kids, you know, there's so many things that are going on in a parent's life in terms of, you know, working and school and, you know, especially with the pandemic, just kind of managing their kids' life on Zoom around the house all the time. But at the same time, you know, the financial language is something that is so important. And, you know, kids are into this stuff now, right? There's apps like Acorns, which kind of helps people save, and then Robinhood. And these kids are all talking amongst their friends, and they're all using the products that are these great companies. They watch Netflix, they're on Zoom, they live on YouTube and TikTok, and they're chatting on Snapchat and spending 30% of their time on Instagram. Well, those companies happen to be public companies. You know, when we were growing up, it was McDonald's, and yeah, it was a different world, right? It was a very physical world. And, you know, our parents would take us to a restaurant and you love McDonald's and you saw the commercials, but you never put anything together. Now these kids are all chatting 24/7 a day, and they figured out that these companies are also public companies, and they see their friends talking about stocks. So they're talking about it, whether the parent's talking about it with the kid or not. So it's up to the parent to just explain this to them, maybe set up an account for them at Robinhood with $100 or $200 and let them go buy that, you know, $50 worth of Netflix or $20 worth of Lulu or $5 worth of Peloton. And I think, unlike your experience with 2 shares, today you can go buy those 2 shares or $20 worth of a stock using Robinhood and fractional investing for zero commission. Mm-hmm. So when you were doing it, 2 shares would have cost you $30, which at Schwab or something, and that's the stock would have to go up $15 a share just for you to break even. So it was mathematically impossible to make money. Today, if you buy 2 shares of Netflix and it goes up $2, you're up $4. So And, you know, worst case, it may not be life-changing, but it'll be an experience and an understanding of how price and the brokerage and markets work. And so the earlier we expose kids, the better. And that's my feeling. I mean, listen, just to hand these kids a brokerage account at 18 and give them $10,000 and say, see you later, I mean, bad things can happen.
Yeah.
But it's a language, just like Chinese, just like Spanish. And I think it's one of the most important languages going forward because it's a global language now. And American companies like Tesla and Amazon they're wanted by everybody around the world.
Yeah, and they're exciting. They're exciting, and the youth knows about them. Like, my son tells me every day when we're getting a damn Tesla. And it's like, dude, relax.
And so does my son. And I'm like, that's, you know, forgetting that they can't afford it, but that's what they aspire to get. You know, for us, it might have been a Porsche or a Corvette, or it might have been, a pair of shoes or whatever it was for us. For these kids, they know what brands they want, and that translates to demand for the products, and that translates into higher stock prices. You know, stocks go down too, and I don't think people realize that lately.
Yeah, not this year. Not this year, right?
not after March. 10 years, pretty much. Yeah, not after March. So I think people just have to learn to understand how markets work, and the only way to do it is learn by doing. And in an era of the smartphone and zero cost commission investing, now's the best time in the history of civilization to learn this language.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting now because of things like Robinhood, where back in the days we couldn't do fractional investing like that, and now the kids could do it. So they could still buy into a company that they actually love, like Tesla, where they might not be able to afford a $400 stock, but they could buy a fraction of it. So that's pretty cool. Now, a lot of dads would say, I can't afford to lose money with them trying. What's a good minimum amount? Do you think like 250 is good? 500 is good? Like, is that a good starting point?
I mean, it just depends. You know, no 8-year old. I mean, God bless. If your 8-year old comes to you and says, I want to start investing.
You're going to be excited. You're going to be excited as hell, too.
you got to be excited. I mean, some kids, my son's 21 and he lets me do it and he's just trusts me and he's like, leave me alone. He's, you know, he's a very busy kid. Mm-hmm. Whereas my daughter, you know, we talk about stocks all the time. She's 22. Some 10-year-olds are into it. I think the way these products are designed now, like games, I think it's really up to the parents. It's kind of a joint project. You shouldn't hand your kid $200 or $2,000 without kind of a plan. But today, even if you put $100 in an account, you can buy $10 worth of 10 different stocks and be pretty diversified and enjoy the seeing things move 2 pennies or 3 pennies. It's all relative. And I think that's the key, is to get kids to understand percentages and get kids to understand the mood of the country and the mood of the market with red and green and ups and downs, and to try and teach them that, when the world is mad and the world is red, that may be a better time to buy something. And when everything's green day after day after day, it doesn't mean you're smart. Maybe it's a good time to sell something. Kind of like you selling Netflix. You know, you made 300-400%. You're like, okay, you know, I love Netflix, but maybe it's time to find another stock. You know, the sooner you learn this, you may not like it, but the sooner you expose your kid, whether it's like this, no different than the piano, or a language, then the better off they are.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Because the first time I was introduced to stocks, I was in high school. And I came to my dad and I told him, hey, man, we got to buy some Microsoft. Like, Microsoft was dirt cheap at the time. You know, it was Windows 95. We barely had computers. And it was early. My dad didn't trust me. So he didn't let me do it. But my school already started giving me some of that education. And then once I got to college and I saw how Microsoft popped, it was like, Dad, man, you should have gave me an opportunity here. Like, you should have gave me a chance. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to do with my kids.
Yeah, man, it's a business. Listen, just because it's on your iPhone doesn't mean it's not a business. The understanding of how business works is the stock market, right? Yeah. You know, you've got fear, greed, you got profits, losses, you have emotions. You have the collecting of, you know, the growing of your, you know, your bundle, your chip stack, and you know, a lot of, you learn a lot about yourself. You know, I still continue to get incredible knowledge about myself, and it's a never-ending path. You know, like any good language or any good experience, it's you know, it's a never-ending path of you know, learning.
Yeah, and I think that's what I like the most. Like, I think I love to see my son interested in a stock and seeing the price range of the stock. But what I really love is seeing him tell me why the company is good. Not the stock price itself, but more, why will the company survive, or why are they worth this? And kids are surprising, man. Like, sometimes they'll sit there and they'll tell you what they think, and it's like, holy crap, that's it. Like, you got it. I don't know how you got it, but you got it.
Yeah, I mean, they have insights, and, you know, you can try, the Wall Street tries to make this sound like it's just for very special people.
Yes.
You know, leave us to do our job. And we find that in a lot of industries, people protecting their space. You know, we see it in politics, we see it in schools, we see it in, well, everywhere, and no different on Wall Street. So I think what we've seen is, you know, and if you look over the shoulder of a millennial or a teen, you could have made a lot of money just seeing how they use their phone. And it wouldn't have mattered how much you understood about finance. It's about attention. It's about loyalty. It's about addiction. It's about growth. It's about, you know, culture. And all those things matter. It's not just, oh, what's the sales of that company? It's not, you know, a lot of these insights come from the kids without worrying about the numbers.
Yeah. They're almost like, it's almost like they, not that they're naive or ignorant to the number, but it doesn't call them as much as what the company's doing. For like example, like with Nike, my son is happy that every week they're dropping a new pair of sneakers and selling out every single pair. So now he's not even looking at the price target of the stock. What he's looking at is, man, everybody wants Nike, and it keeps selling out. And it's incredible to see them take that information and then come up with their own conclusions. You know, going back to what you were talking about, emotions, when people get into the stock market, their emotions take over with the peaks and the valleys. But one of the biggest things that happen is that a lot of people think that it's a get rich quick type of scheme, which it isn't. How would you explain that to your older kids now, where it's like, I want you to invest, but it might be a long term thing. It ain't gonna be a quick rich scheme.
Like, yeah, I mean, I don't know anybody. We've seen throughout history people get rich quick. I see it. Like, I mean, you know, there's two types of fear and greed. There's fear and greed that you face every day, and there's the, we call it the FOMO, the fear of seeing other people get rich. I think more people get more upset about seeing their neighbor get rich and worrying about themselves getting rich. So I think, and that's an American thing, you know, what are my neighbors doing? And that comes with freedom, right? Like, everybody's snooping about everybody else, and not focused on their own, you know, path. So, you know, I think if you're going to invest, you shouldn't lie to yourself, and people should realize it's a journey of 30, 40 years. And, you know, it's about baby steps. And the first thing is to buy a great company, period, end of story, full stop. The second thing is to, you know, pay as little in fees as possible. And the third thing is to buy great companies, full stop. And you're going to make mistakes, right? Like, I mean, hello, like, you know, the greatest investors make mistakes, but if you buy great companies, and you buy companies that, you know, kids use and old people use, I call them 8 to 80 companies, you know, an 8-year-old's using the product and an 80-year-old's using the product, and that's Nike, Google, Facebook. You may not love, and you don't have to own the companies if you don't like them, but you've got to find companies that, if you want to invest for the long term, that people, you know, across the spectrum of 80-year-old people use. You know, people have gone sidetracked over years with oil and with energy and with banks, and you know, 8-year-olds like Tesla and 80-year-olds like Tesla. I like to hunt and own companies where you know, I got a demographic of 90 years of people want those products. And that kind of narrows down the list of companies you can buy, but it also helps you sleep at night knowing I really understand this company because my 8-year-old kid likes it, grandma needs it, I'm 50 years old and I kind of see them all over the road, or the market for these companies. And there'll be periods where those companies get hit. So once you define those great companies, and you realize this is a 40-year journey, well, then you should be thrilled when March happens, and thrilled that the president's threatening tariffs, and thrilled, not that because you're not going to lose money for a month or two or three or 12 months, but that these companies that are in demand from 8-year-olds to 80-year-olds are going to be the ones that come back. So, So there's going to be periods over 40 years where you just look at your account and go, what the fuck? Like, excuse my language, but like,
oh,
what?
No, wait, we're good. We're good with the cursing. You can do it all you want.
I had to throw in one. But there's going to be periods like I have where I just don't feel like opening your account. And as long as you own great companies, that feeling's okay. It's when you buy stupid things or you take a tip from a friend and you lose money and then don't deal with that. That's a problem. But if you buy great companies, remember, and if you do that, and there's lots of smart people to follow on that, but really it's just your own eyes and ears and senses and your feet and just seeing how you spend your money. As long as you do it that way, you're not going to get rich overnight. But if you continue to do that and then add the idea that, you know, if I'm spending $1,000 a year to invest in the market and we see a period like March, you know, maybe do $2,000 that year or that month. So play the game with yourself to do the opposite, which is, you know, when you're feeling good, may not be the best time to invest. When you're feeling really nervous and the news is negative and go back to that list of companies that you love and do the opposite, which is buy something, you know, to put all your life savings on it. And when you open up the paper and you see the market's up 50 days in a row or 6 months in a row, it's not because you're smart. It might be a great time to just sell a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and just those kind of once or twice a year adjustments to your portfolio, not every day, over 30, 40 years, you'll just be shocked at how much money you will make by owning companies that everybody uses and that you use yourself. And it's pretty, if you stick to that plan, I mean, nobody has complaints, trust me. Now, there's a million other ways to do it, but, you know, one-time shot of talking to any audience, that's kind of what I talk about.
Yeah, no, I agree, because when I first got my corporate gig, I came from Section 8, and when I first got my corporate gig, I sat down with a financial advisor at my company, and they told me, hey, you know, 30 years of you investing X amount of money at an 8% return, you'll have maybe $1 million to $2 million for retirement. When I saw that paper, because I had a little of financial knowledge, I looked at it and I said, damn, this is a long time, but I know it's true. How do we teach others that it is a long-term game? Because sometimes people, they want to get rich quick, but also like you just said earlier, the emotional side takes over, right? So if they see their 401 or their portfolio take a hit, they don't necessarily always want to buy in. And that is the best time to buy in. So what do we tell people? Just keep going? Like how do you finesse that? Like, how do you tell your daughter, hey, you know, you took a big hit this month in March, you took a big hit, double down. Like, is that just with experience? Oh, hello? Hello?
Oh, sorry. Sorry about that. In a practice what you preach type thing, you know, your kids may not want to do that. They'll probably actually want to do it before you want to do it. But if they don't, you do it for them, right? You have to practice what you preach. But I think you have to get in that mindset and find, you turn off the TV. When the news is bad, like, I'm not a news person. I think the number one killer of investing is reading the news. It's easy to get caught up in, oh, the world's ending and we're going to go to war and Democrats are idiots and the Republicans are idiots and taxes are going to go higher. I just assume that. Okay. Yeah. So if you're going to invest, assume that idiots are running the country, but idiots aren't running great companies. Great people go to great companies. And Nike has survived many horrors over the last 40 years. Facebook, you may not like them, but they've survived and will continue to survive. And so if you buy great companies, and I generally think these great companies are run by their founders, you know, it's very hard to find great companies that aren't run by their founders. It's, you know, so when push comes to shove, I prefer to own great companies that are owned by the people that started them, because they have the most to lose and they're the most passionate about their companies and they understand their customers. But you just have to teach yourself to do the opposite, which is when you're feeling just so smart and smug, remember that everybody else feels that way, and you may want to just do the opposite. When you're feeling really shitty, trust that everybody else feels just the same way. And the world has generally not come to an end from my recollections, except for Noah. And by the way, if it happens and we flood and everybody's dead, you didn't need the money anyway.
Yeah, then you don't need it. You just needed a nice plane. I mean, a nice yeah. boat that might survive. So yeah. Now, you know, as parents, we like to be involved and we like to be on our kids, right? How involved do we need to get when we get them to invest in their stocks? I mean, to invest in stocks, because for me, I got into the Loved app. I think I got into it through a recommendation through you. And it allows me to see what he's doing. But I don't need to actually run on up to him and tell him, hey, man, that's the wrong company to invest in. So how involved should a parent get? Or is that just like, well, on dumb?
That's a good question. I get that question all the time. You know, some 20-year-olds like to gamble and they're on sports fantasy and the parents are worried. I think the worst thing that you can do is you tell them how to do it. I mean, that's from tying up their shoes to how to swing a bat to how to put on makeup to how to dress. They don't want to hear from you. But I think what a parent can do is kind of help them find their style, which is share an article. Talk to my wife. It's so easy to share an article and the tone is, this is the right way to do it. I think you have to find a way to tell kids, you may enjoy this, instead of this is what you should do. Mm. You know, it's so hard. It's just like all the nudging. You know, it's the tone of which, and it's hard to practice. You know, I don't practice what I preach with my own kids. Obviously, it's so easy to tell other people. My kids look at me like I'm a nut. But it's much easier to tell you or anybody else. It's like, help them find people that will be mentor them. Right. And it could be me and it could be a 12-year-old TikToker. But, you know, you need to get them mentorship. You need to get them getting good advice. And there's a million ways to skin the cat. The obvious thing is, like I said, buy great companies, keep your costs down and keep doing it and zig when other people are zagging. Now, your kids aren't going to do it perfectly. So you need to, you know, do this yourself as well. You can't just tell kids to do it if you're not doing it yourself. And then you need to stop telling them how to do it. And you need to start sharing them, you know, articles and interesting things about companies that they're interested in and let them make those decisions. You know, hopefully they'll communicate. Like, not all kids are good at it. Not all kids want to communicate back. And like I said, my son trusts me. Like, I know he checks his account, but he's never shared an idea with me. And whereas my daughter, I know she checks her account and I know she, you know, demands me to buy certain stocks and for her. And, you know, I keep it under my purview still, even though they're 18, you know, I like to, since it's enough capital, I like to just kind of keep an eye on it and I'll do whatever they say, but, I don't give them access to it, quite yet. Now, if they want to open, they're 18, if they want to open a Robinhood account with money they've saved, God bless them. And hopefully they trust me enough to call me before they do something stupid. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a kid can walk into a Walmart and buy bullets. So I don't know why people are so worried about getting kids access to, you know, a small account at Robinhood and showing that you trust them.
Yeah, I look at it as, you know, you put $200 into Robinhood. I mean, most of us from the community that I'm at, we spend $200 on a pair of sneakers. So
yeah,
it's not risking a lot. Like, you know, I'm going to beat up my Jordans in a week. The lessons that the kids get from those $200, they last a lifetime, man. And like I see it with myself.
Also, you can gamify. You can say, listen, we're going to buy Nike shoes, but you're going to go to Robinhood and put 10% of what we just paid for those shoes into the stock.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
So you can gamify. You can also gamify it and just say you spent 2 hours on YouTube, so put $2 into Google stock. Yeah. So that shit starts adding up for kids. And then you know, that's how a younger parent, if I had 8-year-olds again, I would say, here's the Robinhood, because it wasn't Robinhood when my kids were 8, but I'd say, and you know, each have a Robinhood account. Here's the app. And tie everything that they do during the day to investing, meaning, all right, spend, you watch 50 TikTok videos, go put 50 cents and 10 cents. You know, so tie their activity and their attention, and they'll really pick it up fast. Like, oh shit, I love Google. Yeah. Maybe I'll put more money in it.
You're right, man. I love that. I love that advice, because for me as a startup guy, I gave my son all of the startup books, you know, the Lean Mythology, the Lean Startup, $100 Startup, you know, Alexis Ohanian, and any book that I could find, Gary Vee. It was cool to watch him read it, but he didn't care about it. When I actually put him to do work with the knowledge, that's when he really learned. And I try to do that now with the sneakers, where it's like, you know, you like sneakers. So do I. I could teach you lessons by you reselling these sneakers. Like, we could actually sit there and I could tell you how to negotiate. I could teach you how to negotiate, how to find a good deal. You know, how to prepare yourself to do the buys. And that's the same thing with the stock market. If you make it fun for them and give them stocks that they actually like a Disney or a Nike, man, sky's the limit. Because now they're interested. Like, telling them what to do and showing them the definitions of a price to earnings ratio or whatever, they don't care about that crap. Not yet.
Oh, my God. And by the way, what does that even mean?
Hey, not as of right now, nothing, bro.
Well, it never meant anything. It was just, like I said, it's like religion. It only means something. What does Christianity and Judaism mean? Do we really know? It's just thousands of years of storytelling. And that's what stocks are. Yeah. You know, you can make it really complicated, or there's a story. Nike's a religion. Okay, the religion is people love the swoosh. They love the brand. They trust everything about it. It may not last, but that is the facts, okay? And so Nike is a religion, just like Christianity. And so, and their religion is driven by profits, unlike most religions. And so invest in these type of cult-type brands run by their founders, and you're going to be happy. So will the kids. But not everybody's going to take to it, so it's not the end of the world. And if they're not going to take to it, doesn't mean you shouldn't do it for them, because that's a parent's job, is to try and, you know, save for their kids.
Yeah, and then you can mix it up. You could give them, you know, you could give them the medicine with the candy, you know, and that might be with the companies that you pick. You know, like that's what I do with my own son. Like, he, you know, he doesn't know what he's doing, but he has his loved account, and then he has an account for his sneaker reselling. How do we tie it all back together? But I love what you said, which is, if you're going to go out there and buy Nikes, let's go invest in Nike too. Like, put that 10%.
Yeah.
I love that. And that's one thing I haven't done yet.
Yeah, it's one thing that I would do. It's one thing that'll get them to understand what they're spending. You know, there's all kinds of apps that can trick you into doing things. And I'm for that too. Listen, we all have these tricks, but tricks don't work, whether it's weight loss. But, you know, we're all running around counting our steps. Seems so dumb to me. But yeah, it's a game, right? I don't do it, but the game works for some people. So, you know, in the end, you know what works? If they see it happening, the reward is just, oh my, it's like magic after 10 years. You go, what?
Yeah.
And that's what I can guarantee people. If they do it for 10, 15 years, the simple strategies that I talked about today, they're going to open up their accounts one day and go, motherfucker, that, like, shit really works.
Yeah, got me some money.
And, yeah, and they see how simple it can be, because you're putting you're making money off other people's work. You know, the leverage of time and money and some patience is really a very American thing. You know, it's a privilege. I don't know how long it'll last, but you know, I hate to bet against that idea. Yeah. And so, if you're an optimistic person, you know, and some people aren't, you know, it's unfortunate, but it's not everybody. You know, we're wired differently. But if you can, the sooner you start, the better.
Yeah,
and the way I would say it. And today in 2020 with Robinhood and Acorns and all these, it's shoe sneaker apps and StockX and Rally Road and there's a million ways to include, to make it a kind of an inclusive type thing for young kids and high school kids and college kids.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned StockX because it's almost the same thing, like where it's like if they love sneaker reselling and StockX, they're getting components of the market as to like how to value things, like how to value products. Like the sneaker that you're selling is a stock. And now you see the different ranges. So it's almost like the lessons are intertwined, where it's like you could get the same lessons.
There is no better
lesson.
The only lesson they're going to need in the next 40 years is how to invest. You know, yeah. Robots are going to be doing the other jobs.
Yeah.
So it's a skill that it's a game that actually is a game that is better than any game in the world if they can learn how to have the game work in its favor. And, you know, the things that work in its favor are saving, reducing costs, and time. So the earlier you get them playing the game, the better. The earlier you get them mentorship and then get them curious about this, the better. And, you know, once they find kind of that path and the people that they trust, it's really not that complicated. Yeah. You may find that person in the first year. You found me, and it's easy to find mentors today. Everybody's sharing.
Yeah, you don't even have to ask. You don't even have to ask. Everybody.
Yeah, you don't even have to ask. You should be nice, but exactly, you don't even have to ask, right? But like, you get it. Like, you don't have to ask. There's thousands of smart people sharing, and so all you have to do is kind of listen, and then just learn by doing.
All right, I got one last question for you, because I know you got to go make some money before the market closes, man. the advice side of things. When I married into a Chinese family. I'm Puerto Rican. When I first sat down at the table, we talked about stock investment. We mix it up, man. Chino Rican, man. Mm-hmm. But we sat at the table, and I was asking all my Chinese uncles about investing because they loved it. And I had another cousin-in-law come to me and give me a stock, like advice. And I remember my uncle turning to him and telling him, man, stock tips is for waiters or something like that. I forgot what tips are for waiters. Mm-hmm. That's what he told him. Mm-hmm. And that always stuck with me because the stock that the guy was pushing to me was a loser. So how do you deal with teaching your older kids that, yo, not all advice is good advice, even though we're looking for some advice and mentorship?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is the thing that they got to find out themselves, you know.
They got to take the hit. They got to take the hit and lose.
sometimes it's the greatest thing, but, you have to be there to support them when they do. But, yep. They're going to make mistakes. But, it's like politics. You know, some guy's ranting about, which side of the aisle to be on. Those are the same type of people that get stock tips. I think you want to find people that aren't telling you what to do. You need to find people that tell you what they're doing. And then if you see that they're doing things themselves and sharing it, not for you to do it. We all have different risk profiles, right? Like I had to help my mom at a young age, so I'm very conservative because, she didn't have money. She had a certain set of money and I couldn't take risk. If I'd grown up in a different type of environment, maybe I'd be more aggressive and I'd be wealthier because I'm smart. Mm-hmm. But you're wired at a very young age. So I think you have to let people find the right type of mentor for their own risk profile. And kids will figure that out once they put real money to work. You know, when you have $100 and you lose $15, you'll learn a lot about yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And when you have $100 and spend $15, it's gone. So that's why I said, if you spend $15, make sure they put $1.50 into whatever that is they spent on.
Yeah.
Whether it's Chipotle's or Domino's, As long as they're great brands and that are going to be around for 50 years. So, I just avoid tips and try and focus on products that you're using all the time. And, no one likes to give you a tip to buy McDonald's or to buy Lululemon, even though, and by the way, those wouldn't be tips because they're obvious. People clamor for these products. Generally, tips are about like really stupid things that no one's ever heard of.
Yeah, penny stocks.
For good reason.
They want to push some penny stocks on you.
Yeah, just for good reason. I haven't heard of that. Well, for good reason.
That's what I used to tell people all the time. Sure. I'm like, man, you're selling me a penny stock, man. Do you know how it got there? Why it got there? There's a reason it got there. I'm not losing my money. You know, but
yeah,
they were
a little penny stock. Call me when it's $10. I like to tell people, because if it's a $10, it's okay that I didn't buy it at a penny. As long as it's going to $100, I'd rather buy it when it's, you know, halfway there.
When it has something
like
you could actually
people,
grasp, like revenue
or
something.
You don't want to buy something. You want to buy stuff that everybody is willing to buy, because you don't want to be the last person to own it. And if your uncle's telling you about stocks and he's not a billionaire, run.
Run away.
And if your uncle, is a billionaire and telling you to buy stocks, just tell him to give you some money.
Oh, give me an account, bro. Pass me an account, damn it.
Yeah. Just give me an account and I'll buy it with your money.
I'll learn with that.
I'll solve everything. Yeah.
Well, Howard, this right here was fantastic, man. I love the tips, especially the invest in the companies that the kids are using all the time, like Nike, put up the 10%. I love that. What's the best way for people to contact you? Because, you know, I do it through Twitter. And I know you got your podcast, but what's the best way that that people could find out more about you and get some of these stock tips or the advice?
Just search my name, and I'm famous on the internet, Howard Lindzon, LINDZON. I have a daily email for free that I send out about investing, but it's Howard Lindzon, and just search my name to find my blog and Twitter and everything else.
Man, I love it, man. I can't thank you enough. I know you out there making those millions and building companies while you're doing it. So I don't want to take up too much of your time, man. I truly appreciate it.
I'm a thousandaire. I'm a
hundredaire, man. I'm catching up. All right. So to the community, there's no better teacher than yourself when it comes to teaching your kids about that paper. We just had Howard drop some gems on getting started in the market. And now it's your turn to put that knowledge to work. Get busy, fellas. You know how we do. Thank you, Howard, once again. Fatherhood is lit.